This is Sarah Troop, and you're listening to the Cabinet of Curiosities. This week's episode, The Little Foxes. The rappings and strange noises seemed to be completely mysterious in nature. It was especially unnerving to Mrs. Fox, who had moved into the little house in Hydesville, New York, with her previously estranged husband and three children, only weeks prior. It was the winter of 1848. The rappings continued, but with more frequency. First at night, then spilling over into the waking hours, from the floor, the walls, the furniture, or anywhere the Fox girls happened to be. 14-year-old Margaret and her sister, 11-year-old Kate, began to engage in a discourse with the dead. One night in March, Kate called out, "Here, Mr. Splitfoot, do as I do," and knocked a number of times on the floor. Mr. Splitfoot obliged by responding with the same number of raps. It wasn't long before the foxes had devised a method of communication with the spirits. And soon, a horrible story was revealed, that of a salesman who was murdered by having his throat cut with a knife and then buried in the cellar of the house. Neighbors were invited in, people fishing at the nearby creek, and all of them heard the same series of questions and answers. Many more came throughout the night, for word spread fast in the little town. Mrs. Fox composed an affidavit recounting the story of the rappings, saying, "I am not a believer in haunted houses or supernatural appearances. I am very sorry that there has been so much excitement about it. It has been a great deal of trouble to us. It was our misfortune to live here at this time, but I am willing and anxious that the truth should be known, and that a true statement be made. I cannot account for these noises. All that I know is that they have been heard repeatedly, as I have stated. I have heard this rapping again this morning, April 4th. My children also hear it." Mr. and Mrs. Fox were frightened. They and the people who witnessed these rappings and exchanges were all convinced that the Fox girls possessed an incredible power. They were also convinced that there was a ghost in their house. So Margaret and Kate were sent to live with their older sister, Lee, a 33-year-old single mother who lived in Rochester, New York. She had also just read The Divine Principles of Nature, a book wherein the author claimed the dead were in daily contact with the living and predicted that someday the truth would be known to us through a living demonstration. Lee had just found her living demonstration. Under Lee's management, Margaret and Kate were soon in high demand to conduct seances. Once guests arrived, they would seat themselves around a table, recite a prayer, sing a bit, and then either Margaret or Kate would fall into a trance. On November 14th, Rochester's largest hall, seating 400, was rented out. The local paper, the Daily Democrat, reported that those in attendance were in the best possible humor, ready to be entertained, and watched the Fox sisters be exposed for perpetrating a fraud. This was not the case, and in fact, the paper later reported that the ghost was indeed there. Of course, there were some who refused to let it go and demanded an investigation. In result, over the next few nights at the live demonstrations, the girls were subjected to being placed on glass, on pillows, their feet placed in shackles, and probed by a subcommittee of ladies to search their bodies for concealed machinery. Of course, nothing even remotely suspicious was ever discovered. On the final night of the performances, a barrel of hot tar that had been hidden was discovered and removed. The non-believers lit fireworks inside and attempted to storm the stage. The foxes were rushed to safety by the police. All this publicity ensured that theaters showcasing the Fox Sisters were sold out. They began receiving invitations from some of New York's most illustrious citizens to hold these conversations through the veil for them. The girls were bona fide celebrities. There were even Fox Sisters merchandise. People would wait in line for hours for a chance to see the two young mediums, for a chance to hear something, anything, from a loved one who had left them behind. Spiritualism was now at its height, with its guiding principles of equality of souls, regardless of gender, race, wealth, or religion. It allowed these Victorian women a place to speak out. So what if they were in a trance? Women became influential, powerful, and financially independent for the very first time in America. In the spring of 1854, the spiritualist movement in America had grown so much that it received the attention of Congress. Senators from Illinois and Massachusetts presented a petition requesting the appointment of a scientific commission to study spiritualist phenomena. Meanwhile, the three Fox sisters were holding on to the foundations of their familial relationship by their fingertips. Lee distanced herself from her younger sisters to become a medium in her own right. Margaret fell deeply in love with a famous Arctic explorer, Dr. Elisha Kane, who held a deep disdain for the spiritualist movement and forbid her to continue in it. She then became a Catholic. Kate married and moved away to England. She continued to conduct seances, but refused payment for them. As the years went on, Lee dug her heels into her celebrity and society and authored a book. Margaret's beloved doctor was lost on an expedition, and Kate's husband died too, leaving both sisters devastated. They sought comfort in the other kind of spirits now, and often appeared drunk in public. Embarrassed by her now poor and drunken siblings, Lee began to make trouble for them, trying to distance herself, going so far as to even report Kate to the Child Welfare Services. On October 21st, 1888, a now 54-year-old Margaret Fox was paid a large sum of money to take out the spiritualist movement, and her sister Lee along with it. In front of an audience of 2,000 paying customers, which included Kate, at the New York Academy of Music, Margaret took the stage and delivered what has been referred to as a historic death blow to spiritualism. As reported in the New York Times, she seated herself and a committee of physicians called by a Dr. Richmond from the audience, who examined her to see that no deception was practiced. She then proceeded to slip off one of her shoes, her feet covered in plain black stockings, which then emitted a series of raps, loud enough to be heard by everyone. Margaret further explained that as young girls, the sisters had set out to frighten their mother, first through little knocks and noises, but then by more creative means of tying a length of twine around an apple, allowing it to thump across the floor and ricochet off the walls and furniture. Margaret continued, saying, "My sister Katie was the first to observe that by swishing her fingers, she could produce certain noises with her knuckles and joints, and the same effect could be made with her toes. Finding that we could make wraps with our feet, first with one foot and then both, we practiced until we could do this easily when the room was dark. A great many people, when they hear the rapping, imagine at once that the spirits are touching them. It is a very common delusion. Sounds are difficult to place in space, and let's face it, people will believe anything if they want to bad enough. The critics took up the mantle of I told you so. Others were disillusioned, and the rest refused to believe. Just before she died, Margaret Fox took it all back and recanted her confession, saying she did it for the money, and that everything she and Kate did was indeed real and true. In 1904, the Fox family's house in Hydesville, where it all began, was being torn down. In one of the walls near Margaret and Kate's bedroom, the skeleton of a man was discovered, along with a suitcase full of salesman samples. He appeared to have been murdered just a few years before the Fox family moved in. Thank you so much to my wonderful one-man support staff, Steve Troop. We'll have a website up soon where you can learn more about the subjects featured on the Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm your host, Sarah Troop. Thanks for listening. Mama, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.